What drives a rational person to show up at someone's door before sunrise, uninvited and unwanted? This isn't a hypothetical question. It's a confession. That November morning, slipping past security and knocking persistently until he answered, baseball bat in hand, marked the moment of reckoning. The fear in his eyes wasn't just about an unwelcome visitor. It reflected back a stranger I'd become, the desperate woman who couldn't let go. This raw admission opens a larger truth about unrequited love that affects nearly all of us. Research reveals that 93% of people experience one-sided love at some point, yet we rarely discuss it honestly. Instead, we judge women who pursue unavailable partners far more harshly than men doing the same. While John Cusack holding a boombox outside his beloved's window becomes iconic cinema, women in similar positions become cautionary tales, pitiful neurotics, or dangerous bunny boilers. This double standard runs deep, from Hollywood to everyday conversations, revealing our profound discomfort with female desire and aggression. Yet within this painful experience lies unexpected potential for transformation, creativity, and self-discovery. We reconnected after my breakup. He confessed a past crush while dating someone else. Wounded, I chose him precisely because he wasn't fully available, craving possibility without commitment. That summer became a study in restraint. Park walks, movies, rooftop guitar sessions where he called me Phillips, maintaining boundaries that felt torturous and thrilling. This paradox drives our greatest stories. From Edith Wharton's Never Consummated Couples to Friends, unsatisfied desire creates narrative tension that mutual love cannot sustain. Ancient Egyptians defined love as a long desire, recognizing that wanting generates more powerful emotions than having. French writer Stendhal believed passionate love's sweet spot lies in the quest itself. Approaching your beloved's door holds more enchantment than having it open, since face-to-face interaction risks disappointment, taking you away from the enchanted gardens of the imagination. During this suspended state, we share vulnerabilities and imagine emotional utopias while living inside the suspense of, "Do you love me?" Problems arise only when we refuse to hear the answers. After a summer of unrequited feelings, my patience dissolved when he kissed me but wouldn't commit. Despite his continued relationship, I clung to hope. My determination followed what psychology researchers identify as the distinct social script of unrequited love. Perseverance will eventually win over the beloved. This script pervades our culture, from historical romances to Taylor Swift's You Belong With Me. The message remains consistent. If you persevere, your beloved will eventually recognize you're meant to be together. Yet this script creates what researchers call the motivational paradox of unrequited love. While we don't receive the self-expansion benefits of mutual love, we persist because we have a goal to pursue. Our feelings endure because the beloved becomes linked to higher-order goals like caretaking, happiness, or self-worth. This goal linking makes the beloved represent something beyond themselves. Abandoning them feels like abandoning fundamental desires. Consider Maria, widowed after 35 years with a husband she never deeply loved, who pursued Scott, a devout bachelor sharing her Catholic values. Though heartbroken by his rejection, Maria valued having actively chosen someone aligned with her values, a reclaiming of agency she'd never experienced. 19th-century French psychiatrists called obsession la manie du doute, the doubting madness, because no reassurance ever satisfies. As my fixation intensified, our playful gender reversal became profound. I became the steadfast knight, while he played the girly game of keeping me guessing. I felt male desire's consuming insistence, like Stanley from Streetcar, bellowing my beloved's name without caring who heard. Research reveals a neurobiological basis. Testosterone increases in women and decreases in men during love, potentially bringing the sexes closer together. Women become hormonally more masculine when love-struck, with elevated cortisol priming the body for action. This hormonal shift challenges our cultural ideal that women should be pursued, not pursuers. Despite today's freedoms, dating advice warns against acting too masculine, though women initiate about 40% of heterosexual relationships. We accept female determination professionally, yet female perseverance in love still rankles, revealing deeper anxieties about female agency and desire. Patricia's affair with Wolf escalated into stalking, hiding in his sailboat, writing poems in nail polish on wood, making midnight cocaine-fueled drives to his door. When Wolf started seeing someone else, she tracked them to Lake Tahoe, vandalized property, and violently confronted him before arrest. Her narcissistic obliviousness exemplifies how obsession becomes predation. Yet society often grants women a gender pass, dismissing their actions as eccentric rather than dangerous. Luke's experience with Dara reveals the real harm. Retrieving shirts from her place, she threw herself face first onto concrete, bloodied her nose, and told 911 Luke hit her. Only witnesses saved him from arrest. Male victims typically minimize these experiences as annoying rather than threatening, becoming invisible even to themselves. They face unique barriers, expectations to handle problems alone, humiliation at fearing a woman, and female aggression viewed as humorous. Researchers use gender flipping, asking people to imagine identical actions by the opposite gender, which suddenly makes the severity unmistakable. Watching my daughter dance in her Little Mermaid ensemble, I contemplate Ariel's self-sacrifice for love, a fate I dread she might experience. Yet, unrequited love holds potential value. Ariel's I Wish song captures quintessential adolescent yearning for transformation. Perhaps crushes aren't threats, but growth opportunities. By 14, nearly every girl has experienced at least one crush. These early infatuations help adolescents transition from ignoring the opposite sex to imagining relationships with them. Crushes provide safer emotional space than early relationships, which often bring lower grades, higher depression, and increased stress. Psychotherapist Carl Pickhart identifies many adolescent infatuations as identity crushes, attractions to people embodying what teens aspire to become. My teenage crush on sophisticated Manhattan boy David was intertwined with my desire to escape small-town limitations. Such crushes represent self-creation, as teens project desirable characteristics onto their objects of affection, revealing more about who we want to be than who we want to be with. Unrequited love can transform suffering into creative power. The neural maps for beauty and love overlap in the brain, making the leap from romantic rejection to artistic creation natural. After experiencing rejection twice in France, Isadora Duncan channeled her disappointment into dance. This last shock had a decided effect on my emotional nature, turning all its force toward my art, which gave me the joys which love withheld. Transformation also comes through personal growth. After my obsession ended, I established a simple rule: you can't want anyone who isn't good to you. This led me to meet my future husband weeks later. Lena's transformation began when she recognized her relationship with Bartolo left her in constant longing. When she met Oliver, she felt immediate, unconditional love, crucially different from obsession because she didn't need anything from him. Your unrequited desire isn't a sickness to cure. It's a mirror reflecting your deepest needs and unfulfilled potential. The person you're really pursuing isn't the one who doesn't want you. It's the person you're capable of becoming.